Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Up, beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and it feels good to be back. You know, yesterday we were actually preempted due to the funeral service of the great, late, great Congressman John Lewis. We aired that on our airwaves, and you know, that was certainly much, much more important than anything happening in the sporting world right now. You know, John Lewis is such a pioneer when it comes to fighting for social injustice and change here in our nation. So when our news team hit me up and said, hey, Al, would you mind? I mean, kind of a no-brainer, right? So we're back at it, though. Feels good to be back. After that one-day hiatus, here on this July 31st, 2020, I really can't believe that, you know, this is the final day in the month of July for this year. You know, this year has totally flown by, and for many of us, including myself, it has been a complete blur because of everything that we've been going through as a society. We are still in the midst of a pandemic that is wreaking just total havoc on so many different people out there. And we're just trying to get through this as a nation, as a people. But, the pandemic has really eaten up, you know, much of the summer as we will head into August tomorrow. And when it comes to the sporting world is taking a blow. For sure. But I have to talk about, later on this hour, the return of my beloved NBA. Last night in Orlando, Florida, inside of the bubble, it was great. I loved it. And for about, 4 hours last night? A little more when you take into account how I always watch inside the NBA and that crew with Ernie Johnson, Kenny the Jet Smith, Charles Barkley, and Shaquille O'Neal. I think they're the best broadcasting crew in sports. If you tack on, you know, their inside the NBA show after that final game, I mean, I was in complete sports paradise for about 6 hours last night. I loved it. So I'm going to talk about the NBA returning last night and why it was so successful. Also, there's been a lot of conversation centered on the Michigan State men's basketball team and Tom Izzo during this pandemic, because this very well may turn out to be Tom Izzo's best recruiting class ever. I should say, let me rephrase that. Tom Izzo's best recruiting stretch ever. Because it seems like every week now, Tom Izzo is getting some kind of commitment from a five-star recruit. No, we're not talking about two, three, not even four-star recruits. We are talking about five-star recruits that Tom Izzo is landing like they're free Skittles during this quarantine season. Pretty insane. Tom Izzo isn't resting. You know, he never rests anyway, but he really isn't resting when it comes to the recruiting trail. And I want to talk about how he has added another five-star recruit and what this recruiting stretch means for his career. So we'll get to that. And also, I will have Reflection Friday as I will look back at the week that has been in the local sporting world and beyond. And we invite you to do the same. If you would like to be a part of the show, you guys know we aren't live, but you can still weigh in by shooting us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. You can also weigh in via social media, multiple ways in which you can do that. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can leave us a comment anywhere on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. So a lot to get to, so little time. So let's keep this train moving here on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, let's start here in case you didn't see this story. Less than a week after Michigan State University suspended football workouts and put the entire team in quarantine, the university reported its highest number of positive COVID-19 results to date. Michigan State, on Monday afternoon, announced it conducted COVID-19 tests on 122 athletes the week of July 20th to the 24th. All right, so that was just last week, folks. And 16 athletes, yes, 16 athletes, ended up testing positive. Now, additionally, four athletic department staff members tested positive during testing from July 18th to the 24th at locations on and off campus. Now, the figures released on Monday include two staff members and one athlete. The university previously announced tested positive last week, meaning there are 17 new positive cases. I told you how fragile this is, right? All it takes is one outbreak. All it takes is one person to spoil the entire bunch. One outbreak, one person can have the virus, and it is so highly contagious. I mean, yesterday I'm watching Dr. Anthony Fauci talk about how he believes people may need to start walking around with some kind of eye protection on. Because, yes, the virus can be contracted through your eyes as well, not just by wearing a mask and trying to protect your mouth and nose as entrance points. Wild time, right? Wild year. Michigan State on Wednesday announced it halted football workouts after one staff member tested positive. The university on Friday said a second staff member and a player tested positive on Thursday, resulting in the entire team going into quarantine or isolation for 14 days. That's what happened last week, and we, of course, highlighted that earlier this week. But more positive tests. Again, 17 new positive coronavirus cases for Michigan State University. All right, and a combination of COVID-19 test results and contract tracing protocols, led the University of Michigan Athletic Department to suspend voluntary summer workouts in four sports, those being swimming and diving, field hockey, ice hockey, and volleyball. The freeze, however, is expected to be short-lived. Ice hockey will resume training later this week, and the other programs will start back up next week. So last Friday, U of M announced that 12 student athletes and one staff member tested positive following a round of testing conducted July 20th to the 21st. And according to the latest numbers provided by the university, 729 total tests have been administered since mid-June, with 13 positive results produced. So even with all of the precautions, being taken place on campuses across the board, there are still outbreaks happening. You know, 729 total tests and 13 positive results. 13 isn't a lot, but all it takes is one. All right. As I mentioned, I'm asking the question today, is this Tom Izzo's best recruiting stretch of his career? Because it is hard to bring up a stretch that is more impressive than what we are seeing right now. Michigan State has made several huge splashes on the recruiting trail this summer. MSU men's basketball had another big one on Tuesday when they received a commitment from Enoch Boyeki, who is a 6'10", 240-pound big man from Ontario, who is one of the top centers in the 2022 class. So from Canada, Boyeki, and I think I'm saying that right, is rated a five-star prospect by 247 Sports and is ranked as the top prospect in Canada, the number 18 overall recruit, and third best center for the class of 2022. Now, he's rated a four-star recruit by Rivals, but isn't ranked by the recruiting site since he doesn't play in the United States. Boyeki averaged 13 points, 14 boards, 2 blocks per game during his sophomore season at George Harris Prep. Now, at last year's FIBA U16 Americas Championship in Brazil, he averaged 8.8 points and 10.8 rebounds per game for runner-up Team Canada. So, Boyeki is a player who's just, he's an animal. I mean, again, one of the top centers in the 2022 class, five-star prospect by 247 Sports. Pretty impressive stuff. Now, from that, on to a pretty troubling story here. As a University of Michigan student told Bo Schembechler that he was sexually assaulted by Dr. Richard Anderson. That's what a lawsuit alleged on Thursday. This allegedly happened in 1982 when the student known as John Doe 17 was examined by Anderson for migraine headaches and said that he was digitally penetrated. Now, the student was part of the broadcast team in the athletic department and had a relationship with Schembechler. The coach had recommended Anderson, the team doctor, and when the student reported back to Schembechler that Anderson had done this, the coach allegedly reacted angrily and told him to tell the athletic director, who was at the time Don Canham. In other words, he passed his coach's whistle to somebody else. And again, this is all alleged, but this is a very surprising story, right? As almost 400 accusers have come forward about alleged abuse by Dr. Anderson, there are at least 50 lawsuits. Now, we will likely never know the scope of who knew what and when, but wow, that is pretty alarming, right? We do know this, though. The University of Michigan let a predator roam its campus for almost 40 years, including at least two decades after John Doe 17 said that he told the most famous coach in the school's history, in Bo Schembechler, that a doctor forced his way onto him. This is troubling stuff, and shades here of Dr. Larry Nassar at Michigan State University. This is a culture problem. It's a problem of enabled behavior, dismissed allegations due to status. And my, oh my, is it troubling. I really hope universities are waking up across the nation after seeing what has happened here with the two biggest universities in the state of Michigan. Boy, oh boy. Okay. To less important matters. While the Michigan High School Athletic Association has yet to make an ultimate decision on football in the fall, the coronavirus has claimed high school football's marquee opening event in the Metro Detroit area as the Detroit Sports Commission announced the cancellation of the 2020 Zenith Prep Kickoff Classic. The six-game event was scheduled for August 27th to the 29th on the Wayne State campus. On Wednesday, the Michigan High School Athletic Association announced that it was pushing back the start of full pads practice to August 17th, with a decision on whether to delay the season expected around August 20th. But, again, another shoe falls here when it comes to the return, the possible return of high school sports, specifically high school football. All right, the Detroit Tigers were in action yesterday as Miguel Cabrera slugged two home runs on Thursday. And Jonathan Schoop hit his third in 3 days, bumping the Tigers' MLB leading home run total to 15. How about that? But three solo homers proved to be inefficient production on that night, as the Royals scratched across a runoff reliever, Jose Cisneros, in the seventh inning to break a 2-2 tie and went on to beat the Tigers 5-3 and gain a split of the four-game series at Comerica Park. The Tigers also lost the services of right fielder Cameron Maben, who strained his right quadriceps, legging out in the infield single, on an infield single, I should say, in the ninth. He was placed on the injured reserve list, and the Tigers will recall an outfielder from Toledo today, possibly Derek Hill or Travis Demeretti. The Tigers will next play the St. Louis Cardinals in a three-game set starting on Monday at home at Comerica Park. Also want to note that the St. Louis Cardinals have had multiple members test positive for the coronavirus, resulting in the MLB postponing today's game at the Milwaukee Brewers. MLB's quick decision to postpone today's game, which was scheduled for a little after we got off the airwaves today at 2:10 p.m., this comes after the outbreak with the Miami Marlins, who have had 19 positive tests over the past week. This is what you fear. And this is why I don't have any confidence that neither the MLB or the NBA, for that matter, will get through this shortened season. So, here you have that. Also, the Detroit Lions placed two more players to the COVID-19 reserve list on Thursday, adding corner Justin Coleman and tight end Isaac Nauta to a group of five players from a day earlier. Detroit's seven players with the designation are among the most in the league. Landing on the list doesn't necessarily mean that a player has tested positive for the virus. Players who have knowingly come in close contact with someone who has tested positive are also placed on reserve as a precaution. But according to the NFL Network, Coleman did test positive despite being asymptomatic. Now, as part of the protocol, Coleman will be able to rejoin the team as early as 5 days from yesterday, as long as he tests negative twice during that time. And any player who exhibits symptoms is required to be out at least 10 days from the initial occurrence of those symptoms and at least 72 hours after last experiencing them. Now, in addition to Coleman and Nauta, I also want to note that wide receiver Kenny Galladay, tight end T.J. Hockenson, cornerback Amani Oroje, punter Aaron Sipos, and safety Jalen Elliott have also been placed on the league's COVID-19 reserve list. So we'll see how that plays out. Again, doesn't necessarily mean that you tested positive, but yeah, it's not a good thing either. So, again, that's, you know, seven players with that designation are among the most in the league for the Detroit Lions. But again, and it's being reported by the NFL Network that Justin Coleman did indeed test positive, even though it doesn't necessarily mean that you did test positive when it comes to you being on that list. All right, last but not least, it was a great night. Basketball fans. I don't know how many times I can say that, but that was absolutely fun. As we saw the NBA return officially from the bubble out in Orlando, Florida. And in the first matchup, to kick off the return, we saw the Utah Jazz beat the New Orleans Pelicans 106-104, the final there. That was a great, great game. 2-point victory for Utah. And then we also saw a 2-point victory in the late slate game, which was the Battle of LA between the Clippers and the Lakers, as the Lakers just edged the Clippers 103-101. And both games were fantastic. Got to give a big shout out to LeBron James in that fourth quarter, even though he struggled offensively throughout much of that game, at least the first three quarters. He turned it on when his team needed him most, and he played superb defense, not just in those final minutes, but LeBron James was really good defensively throughout much of that game, throughout really the entire game. And, you know, he was very, very, very impressive last night in that final stretch. So the NBA will resume day two of the return starting at 2:30 p.m. I love this. You know, being in the bubble, these games have to be played earlier because there aren't many courts to play on. Orlando and Brooklyn will begin today's action at 2:30. Then later on, two games at 4 p.m. Memphis and Portland, Phoenix and Washington at 6:30 on ESPN. Boston and Milwaukee will get it on. And then at 8, Sacramento and San Antonio. And at 9 on ESPN, Houston will play Dallas. So basketball heaven right now, folks. I'm going to enjoy it for as much as I can because, again, as I stated, I don't think that the season is going to be able to get through the entire thing. So I'm soaking up all of this, man. As soon as I get off the air and chuck the deuces to you all, I am getting ready for that 2:30 p.m. game. All right, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into these current sports quick hit headliners. Let's hit our first break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about Tom Izzo and this incredible recruiting stretch for Michigan State men's basketball in his career. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Fri-Yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And I want to go here now. I want to talk about Tom Izzo, the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, and what he has been able to do during this trying time for our nation with the coronavirus pandemic, what he's been able to do while in essentially quarantine, right? He is not letting up, and he has seemingly put his foot to the floor and has put together now a recruiting stretch that probably is the best of his career. I mean, it is pretty amazing when evaluating how hot Michigan State men's basketball is on the recruiting trail right now. The latest recruit, as I mentioned in the headliners, that took place on Tuesday as the Spartans landed a commit from Enoch Boyeki. And again, I don't know if I'm butchering that name or not. I try to pronounce it as best as I could based on how I've seen other people pronounce it online. But he's an elite player. He's a five-star player by 247 Sports. Canadian class of 2022. And this comes on the heels of the recruiting news that just shocked the college basketball world, period, landing the top high school recruit since LeBron James in Imani Bates, who is the top overall player in the country in 2022. And, you know, for Imani, there's a lot of chatter around Imani. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, you know, Magic, Michael, LeBron, Imani. I kid you not, that was on the cover. We've covered that extensively. You know, I get shades of the movie He Got Game. Anytime I talk Imani Bates, I mean, he plays for the Lincoln Rail Splitters. It's the top high school prospect in the nation. It's just amazing when looking at Imani Bates and the hype surrounded around him. But, you know, a lot of people felt as though Imani Bates, you know, was not even going to go to college and head straight to the pros. He was the first. He's coming off a year in which he was the first sophomore ever to be named as the Gatorade National Player of the Year. And, you know, by the time he graduates, many people thought that the NBA rule would be in place that would allow high school players to make the leap from high school to the NBA. And now that may not be a thing because of the pandemic. So if Imani does play college, he said that he would like to play for Tom Izzo. And in between that, Enoch Boyeki, Imani Bates, sandwiched in between that, the Spartans landed Max Christie, who was another five-star prospect for the class of 2021. And Max Christie is apparently in the ear of Imani Bates when it comes to the possibility that Bates could reclassify and be a part of the 2021 class instead of the 2022 class, come out a year early and play for Tom Izzo. I mean, that month-plus stretch, Bates, Christie, Boyeki, that's got to be the best of Izzo's 25-year career, right? Well, in doing some research here by MLive, you know, I got to give a big shout out to Kyle Austin, who did some digging when it comes to asking this question. And his piece reads like this, quote, judging by the Recruiting Services Consensus Index, better known as the RSCI, I mean, who knew that was a thing, a composite ranking system that dates back to 1998 and has included upwards of 25 recruiting services over the years, this is actually the second best recruiting stretch of Izzo's tenure. How shocking is that, right? I mean, we're talking about Imani Bates, along with Max Christie and Enoch Boyeki. 3 5-stars. Well, in the 2000 and 2001 classes, when Michigan State was in the middle of going to 3 straight Final Fours and winning a national title, the program also signed 3 players ranked in the top 5 of their classes. Those players were Zach Randolph, number 1 in the class of 2000, Marcus Taylor was ranked number 5, and the next year, Michigan State landed number 2 overall player, Kelvin Torbert. Kelvin Torbert, many people believe, you know, who saw Kelvin here in the state of Michigan, was one of the best high school basketball players ever. A haul of 3 top 5 players in a 2-class stretch. Yeah, that overshines just a little bit what the Spartans have done this summer. But I tell you what, man, when you really look at it, and specifically when it comes to Imani Bates and the hype surrounded around that young man, I mean, when you really evaluate things, this may turn out to be the best recruiting stretch, because you really don't know just how good these young men are going to be, but you can kind of see the writing on the wall a bit clearer when it comes to the game of basketball. This isn't like football, where, you know, physicality has a lot to do with it. In basketball, you can see a bit clearer because there are aspects to a young man or a woman's basketball game that you can see will be immediately transitional, seamlessly transitional to that next level of hoops. You know, things like ball handling and you know, your shot, you know, those are things that should be translatable to that next level of basketball. So that was an interesting class. I mean, Zach Randolph, Marcus Taylor, Kelvin Torbert, pretty amazing stuff. And, you know, looking at 2002, Michigan State kept up that momentum, you know, getting Randolph, Taylor, and Torbert. They kept that momentum going by signing number 7, Paul Davis, in 02, and then number 3, Shannon Brown, in 03. Now, I say you don't know how good these players are going to be, even though you can see the writing on the wall clearer when it comes to hoops, because we've seen some high school players come into college basketball after being these high school studs. We've seen a lot of them come to that next level of college and not live up to the hype and not be the players that we expected them to be. You know, some people say that with Kelvin Torbert. You know, I've had Kelvin Torbert on my show multiple times, and he talked about what that hype is like, what that pressure is like. It can be a bit unsettling for a lot of these young kids. You know, Paul Davis, Shannon Brown, I mean, those guys never won a Big Ten title. And then you can look at the stretch, from, you know, 2016 to 2017, when the Spartans landed number 10, Miles Bridges, number 20, Joshua Langford, number 9, Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, some people out there are probably screaming at the radio, "Al, don't forget about Cassius. Don't forget about Cassius Winston." Well, Cash finished as a 4-star at number 29 with the 2016 class. So now again, I mean, we're talking about 25 years. In his 25th year, Tom Izzo again is making a ton of headway when it comes to the recruiting trail. I mean, I was totally shocked. I'm still in shock. Anytime I think about it, anytime, you know, I'm on the golf course talking to, you know, people here in the area or you know, my family, my stepdad, we were talking about it on the golf course. It still blows my mind that Imani Bates came out on ESPN on national TV. Because there's a reason why there were so many schools that looked at Imani Bates and stayed away. And that reason is because, again, we thought that the rule was going to be in place. It was like basically set in stone that by the time Imani Bates came out of high school, the NBA would say, all right, you can go straight from high school to the league. But now that looks a bit iffy. I still believe that, you know, there is a high chance that the NBA still goes along with that, especially after seeing the dollar signs and the hype that will come from Imani Bates. I still believe that will be a thing, but just if it doesn't, and let's say this, if Max Christie is able to pull off an amazing, amazing meeting, and it's not going to take one meeting. I mean, it's going to take Max Christie constantly, every week, every day, if you got to, Max, getting in the ear of Imani Bates and telling him of just how special it could be if we played together if you reclassified to the 2021 class and we play for Tom Izzo, we could do something real special. Boy, if that happens, my goodness. And Bates and his family, they did leave that possibility open. There is a chance. They didn't shoot it down. Basically saying that, look, anything could happen here. It's a fluid situation. But the possibility of Imani Bates graduating early and reclassifying to the 2021 class, that's out there. And reclassifying is a possibility for Enoch Boyeki as well. Asked by Yahoo on Tuesday if he plans to reclassify, Boyeki kind of sidestepped and said, quote, going to the NBA is definitely the goal. I mainly focused on working and focusing on my craft. So, yeah, and if both Bates and Boyeki came to Michigan State, just looking at next year, you know, that could mean a recruiting class with 3 5-star prospects. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. You know, I don't know. I think that, again, we're just playing the what-if game, and in my mind, I do not believe that Imani Bates is going to play any kind of college basketball. You know, I mean, now, Imani Bates did come out and say this, but again, you know, these young kids, you just never know what's going through their mind. And things can change. They can think one way on this Friday, July 31st, and then on that same day, a couple hours later, they could change their mind. You just never know. And by the time Imani Bates is done with his high school career, whether that is reclassifying or, you know, deciding to ride it out and not reclassifying, I mean, I think all of these are possibilities. I mean, Imani Bates, I don't know if he does reclassify. There's a chance that, you know, maybe he wants to make some cheese early. Maybe he goes and plays overseas until, what, he's 19 and, you know, then goes to the draft. Or, you know, if he decides to not reclassify and ride out his high school career 4 years, you know, maybe he comes out and says that, all right, I can't go straight to the league because I'm still a bit too young. Or, you know, I want to go to the G League, even though he did shoot the G League down, saying that he would like to play college basketball over the G League. But that could change. All of this could change. You know, him playing college basketball is a huge if. And that's why I just caution Michigan State fans out there that, look, don't get your hopes up. Anything can change here. Guard your heart until you have a very, very good outlook and perception of this possibility that Imani Bates is leaning towards playing collegiate ball. Until then, don't buy into it. All right? So, yeah. I'm going to push along here. It's a very, very interesting conversation. But I tell you what, you know, this stretch has been amazing. And I want to talk about the star power real quick. The 2021 recruiting class, Max Christie, Pierre Brooks. You know, Max Christie again from Illinois, shooting guard, 6'6", 165, 5-star recruit, number 13 national ranking. Pierre Brooks, again, of that 2021 class along with Christie. From Detroit, Frederick Douglass, shooting guard, 6'5", 180, 4-star, number 68 national ranking. And then in 2022, that's where you have Bates and Boyeki. You know, Bates, small forward at 6'8", 200 pounds, 5-star recruit, number 1 national ranking, and Enoch Boyeki. George Harris Prep, Ontario, Canada. He's a center at 6'10", 240, 5-star, number 18 national ranking. Incredible, incredible stuff. And for Izzo, you know, there have been a lot of people that come out and say, oh, yeah, Izzo's great, but he can't land the big fish. Izzo's great, but You know, he's lost his touch when it comes to recruiting. Well, it doesn't seem like that right now. All of that is going out the window. And he's doing something right. And like I said, not to harp on Imani Bates, but that was so shocking and so big. You know, it certainly, you know, can pay off for Michigan State if they do indeed get Imani Bates to play. But even if they don't, the mere fact that Imani Bates said that, yes, I want to play for Michigan State. If I was to play college basketball, I would play for Michigan State and Tom Izzo. The mere fact that the biggest high school recruit since LeBron James in this nation said that he would play for Tom Izzo. There are so many other big-time high school basketball prospects out there that are looking at that and saying, well, if Imani Bates wants to go to Michigan State or would go to Michigan State, then maybe I need to think about it as well. Maybe I need to take a hard look at my basketball future and really think about taking my talents to Michigan State if Imani Bates said he would go there. That's the payoff. Just the mere saying, I'm going to play for Tom Izzo, pays off in so many other ways on the minds of so many other basketball stars across this nation. All right? So, your thoughts. Is this the best recruiting stretch for Michigan State men's basketball, in your opinion? Do you believe that we will see Imani Bates play high school hoops? And just how good do you think these young men are going to be if they do indeed come to Michigan State? No, most of them will, with the exception of Bates, I believe. But just how do you think this will play out with them? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail there. All right? You can also weigh in on social media. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR News. And, again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News to weigh in there. Let's hit our final break. I also want to talk about the decision of two Michigan State players that could impact just how far Michigan State hoops goes next season. And I'll talk about the return of the NBA for Reflection Friday. That and more. Thank you so much for listening to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are now in the final stretch of today's show. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, we just had a discussion. You just heard my thoughts, I should say, on Tom Izzo and this incredible, scorching hot recruiting stretch that he's on. Prospects Max Christie, Pierre Brooks, Imani Bates, Enoch Boyeki this week. Pretty impressive stuff. 3 5-star recruits this summer have announced that they want to play for Michigan State. Pretty incredible stuff. And, you know, I kind of put in perspective, you know, kind of looking at a piece from Kyle Austin, who did a great job at MLive breaking it down on whether or not this is the, you know, the top recruiting stretch of Izzo's career. And I also want to note this. You know, Monday is the deadline to decide whether to remain in the NBA draft or return to college. And there are two Spartans who will be making that decision very, very soon. One who will be reportedly making that decision on Sunday. And I'm talking about Xavier Tillman, X, X-Man, and Aaron Henry. Tillman and Henry, both, have until the NCAA's deadline on Monday to decide whether to remain in the NBA draft or return to Michigan State for the 2020-2021 season. Tillman will announce his decision on Sunday. Henry hasn't given any indication as to, you know, when he will now announce his decision. He could do it right now as I'm speaking, right after we get off the air. He could wait until Monday, Sunday night, Saturday, who knows? But, you know, you look at both of these athletes, and circumstances have certainly just changed, right? I mean, the pandemic has really granted perspective to a lot of different people in our nation. Has really made people reevaluate their futures because there are so much uncertainties. So many uncertainties. And for Xavier Tillman, I mean, I always say, man, he's not your average college athlete. I mean, this brother has, you know, a wife and two kids. Two kids. And granted, Michigan State University is doing an amazing job at supporting Tillman with housing and resources, being a college parent. But you know, if you're looking at your basketball future and you say to yourself, okay, I could go somewhere and get paid, whether that be in the NBA draft, if I get drafted there, or I can go to the G League, I mean, you are at least thinking about it. Which is why it's taking Tillman, I'm sure, so long. You know, Tillman and Henry both started and averaged double-digit scoring for the Spartans as they won a share of that 2020 Big Ten title. Tillman took home Defensive Player of the Year honors for the conference, along with second-team All-American honors, after averaging 13 points, almost 14 points, 13.7 to be exact, and 10 rebounds per game, so a double-double. Henry averaged 10 points per game plus 4.6 rebounds per game from the perimeter in his first full season as a starter. Was a bit inconsistent, but still pretty good production. You know, the two aren't like top 20 prospects in the NBA draft, and they have been unable to travel to work out with teams due to the virus. You know, and the NBA hasn't even held its annual scouting combine. So, you know, you do think about some things, but my prediction is that both of them will come back. I'm sure Tillman wants to bolster his stock a bit. And again, he is a parent, but Michigan State is doing a very good job at supporting him, even though that thought crosses your mind, right? Because let's be real. All right, I could get paid at the next level. Even if I don't make the NBA draft, I could probably go to the G League, right, and play there. You think about it, but you're comfortable at MSU right now. You don't want to rush things. You know, wait until maybe things get back to normal in 2021, knock on wood, hopefully, and you can start to work out with teams at least, right? Give yourself another chance or restart. Hit that restart button, right? Same thing for Aaron Henry to bolster his stock because neither one of these players are like, again, they're not top 15, top 20 guys. So I think that both of them will come back. I will be very shocked if one of them says, no, I'm not coming back to play for Tom Izzo. All right, and with a minute left here, I do want to give a big shout-out for Reflection Friday. You guys know each and every Friday, we close out the week with a look back at the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports and, you know, what is taking place in the sporting world and beyond. And rest in peace to the late, great Congressman John Lewis. I want to say that. The NBA being back last night was fantastic. I'm loving the crowd noise being pumped in. I'm loving, you know, that those huge scoreboards that have fans on Zoom cheering for their respective teams. It felt as normal as it could have felt last night, not to mention two amazing games. And then today's day two of the return, starting with Orlando and Brooklyn at 2:30. I mean, we got six games today. I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. All right. So I want to give the NBA a huge, huge shout out there for the return. All right. But folks, we gotta bid you all adieu. The weekend is near. I hope you guys out there have a fantastic weekend out there. We'll hopefully on the show on Monday talk about two Spartans in Aaron Henry and Xavier Tillman coming back to the program. That's sports. Unpredictable, right? As always, folks, be smart, be safe, and please be easy, people.